Hey Zen friends, welcome to Crazy Zen Life. I'm your host, Brittany Swan.
And I'm your host, Shannon Kessler. Join us as we navigate life on and off our yoga mats.
This is a podcast about mom life, boss life, and body life.
Real conversations about self-discovery and the journey of becoming more mindful in this crazy Zen life.
How are we going to get ready for this polar vortex?
Oh, well, I'm going to stay in my pajamas, and I'm going to wear a beanie in the house, and I'm probably going to have on all my gloves, like every pair I own on all my hands.
All of them?
And just look at it from outside, or from inside, because I'm not going out there. I've been out of my car today, like, six times, and it's just to get out of my car to go to the next place I'm going, and it was freezing, and I'm, like, 5-6 steps max getting to the front door of wherever I'm going. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I purposely didn't pump gas in my car today because I'm like, I'm not going to stand out there. Yeah. I refuse. I'm not going to do it.
Do you stand out there the whole time?
No, but I didn't even want to go that. Because I feel like when you're at Kroger, that's where I get my gas, it takes so long. You have to answer so many questions. And the keypad's not fast. I should probably work on patience at the gas station.
But sometimes your card doesn't read, you know, like the you know,
yeah,
the,
you didn't pull out too card. Fast. Yeah, or, I know.
And then I hit the green light. I'm like, it's too much. It's too much bells and whistles.
So I drove past the gas station and I was like, I'll catch you when we get warmer. I'll be back.
What's really funny? It's not the coldness that really, it does bother me, but it's the wind.
Yes, that's the problem.
Like, everybody in Louisville be looking like they're like a storm chaser, like holding on to like a lamppost. It's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, when you walk someplace and all of your hair is on one side of your body, I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm in a CNN like weather report. Like,
it's really bad out here, Jim.
Exactly.
What is going on? Christina and I were walking like 10 feet. I was like, oh my gosh, the wind. And then I had this vision of everybody in Louisville. I was like, looking all windblown.
Yep. And you've seen it. I've seen it today. A lot of people were out today while I was out, and I'm like, wow, we all have the same look.
It makes me think that everybody should be wearing a turban today.
Yeah. Yes, today would be the day.
Today would be a great turban day. Not a good hat day, because your hat will blow off.
Your hat will blow off, yes.
Or a boggin, but something that's buckled down. And
yep, that's exactly what it, yes.
We should probably buckle down and get on topic, because we do have a guest in here today.
We do, yay!
Yes.
And she is one of our absolute favorites females in this city, for a very good reason. She owns V-Grits, which is now a full-fledged restaurant. But V-Grits started as a food truck here in Louisville. And it is, I mean, the very first time I ever had it, I was I think it was at Norton Commons. They were just opening up the amphitheater. And before she had even opened up the truck to sell her delicious mac and cheese, the line was like so long. I'm like, I don't understand. What's this line for? And they're like, oh, you've never had this? And I'm like, no, what is it? And they're like, the greatest mac and cheese you'll ever taste. And I'm like, well, I'm here. I'm committed. how good is this going to be?
I live here now in this line.
Yeah. And I will tell you, it was worth every minute of the wait time. I could have eaten like four more batches of it. It was so delicious. So welcome, Christina.
Yes, Christina. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yay.
Yes. I'm a fan from the social media. We've never met, but I do follow you a lot. I think that it's such an inspiration to have your taste on cooking and or your veganized recipes. I think it's something
Thank
groundbreaking,
you.
Especially
yeah.
in Louisville, because mm-hmm.
it's a little
foodie
different
town.
Than the typical comfort food that you're used to in here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, because, I mean, there's a delicate palate here in Louisville now. People mm-hmm. want to see some fresh stuff.
They do, and I feel like you really, you know, pioneered the vegan comfort food movement mm-hmm. in Louisville. Because, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, but I feel like you were one of the first to start this movement of this type of food in this way.
Yeah, we had a little bit of vegan options. There was a vegan food truck a few years before I started, and then they transitioned on to some other stuff. It's actually the owners of Morel's Cafe.
Oh, really?
They
I
started out with a food truck, too, but that was before food trucks were even popular themselves. But yeah, we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary of launching the food truck.
Yes,
so it's
that's
been
exciting.
Quite an adventure.
Cool. That is. So how did you get started in the culinary world?
I always loved to cook. My mom cooked at home 3 meals a day pretty much my entire life. So I always gravitated towards it. But I fell into the mortgage industry and doing stuff I just really wasn't passionate about. And then I switched to a vegan lifestyle 13 years ago. Before people knew what the word vegan meant. It was a really strange time.
You ate so much bad cheese.
Oh my gosh. There was one or two vegan cheese options on the market when I went vegan, and they weren't good. And then if I would feed them to other people, oh, it was just terrible.
They questioned all your decisions at that point. They're like, no.
Yes, my family still makes fun of me for, like, the first few months. The meals that I made when I went vegan were not the best. So we've come a long way. But I, after only probably a year of being vegan, I started working with animal welfare, and I worked for nonprofits, and I got to speak up about the lifestyle and all the benefits of this cruelty-free, compassionate way of eating. And during that time, I was really honing in on my vegan cooking chops and, you know, doing a much better job, and it was really just a lot of trial and error. So once I felt comfortable with it myself, I started teaching people how to cook vegan, just as kind of a side job. And after a few years of that, felt comfortable enough to jump in full time.
That's so you were like a teacher? Like you would say, like, you'd help guide people in their vegan journey?
Yeah, I just taught cooking classes.
That's a great way to like dip your toe. If someone came to me and said, here, I'll help you be more plant-based, I would have been like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of scary. You don't know where to, you got to take it one step at a time.
Yeah, after I went vegan, I realized that's the hardest part for people because it is so different than the way most of us grew up eating. So if you can just kind of lend them a hand and show them that it doesn't have to be so tough. Right. That's what people need, really, to make the switch.
And, it can be an expensive lifestyle to change, but to get started into. Because, I mean, some of these plant-based meats and cheeses aren't very inexpensive.
Right.
So if you get one and you don't like it, you're like, well, there's $8 on cheese I'm never going to see again. So, I mean, it can be a little intimidating to go down that road. I mean, if you're looking just to plants, that's not as hard, but if you're like, no, I really need a meat option.
Yeah, if you want the vegan meats and cheeses, they can be a little pricier. But if you're switching them out and you were buying more expensive meats and cheeses, then you might not really notice a difference. It just depends what you're used to eating and what you want to start.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's a good point. So tell us about so you jumped all into the food truck first?
Well, I got a job I'm from close to Louisville originally. I moved to Vermont for a few years, lived up there. And when I moved back about 5.5 years ago, that's when I thought, all right, this is my time. I'm going to go full-time cooking, you know, starting my own business, doing what I want to do. And I met a couple in Shelbyville, where I'm from, and they were opening a cafe, and they wanted it to be really healthy, allergen-friendly. So I met them, and I said, well, that's how I cook. And they're like, all right, make us some samples. And I did, and then all of a sudden, I was the chef at this cafe in Shelbyville.
Oh, cool.
So I got to open that place with them and did that a few months and really, really loved it. And I applied to be on Cutthroat Kitchen on the Food Network at this point. Just on a whim.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, not really thinking they'd call, and they called the next day.
No way!
What?
Yeah.
So I'm like, move this girl to the top.
So I did Skype
interviews. I know what my
interviews.
Google search is going to be later.
Phone interviews, Skype interviews. Didn't think I made it on the show, and then a couple weeks later they called and said they wanted me on and put me on a plane. So I went out to California and filmed. This was 4 years ago. And ended up, well, I guess five now, and ended up winning the show.
It was
the
first.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Amazing.
First vegan chef to be on the show and to win.
Nice.
It's kind of like, if you haven't seen it, the host is Alton Brown.
Oh, my gosh, I love him.
Yeah, he's great. And it's like a cooking competition meets gladiators. They give you all these weird, like, hurdles you have to jump through just to prepare a dish.
Okay.
So it's already kind of crazy.
Right.
And then in the pantry, they didn't have a whole lot of vegan options, so it was a little bit harder of everything else to make the
ice. What was your recipe?
Yeah, what was your dishes that you prepared?
So the first round was corn chowder, which was, you know, not too difficult, just replacing some dairy. The second one was gyros, so I used shiitake mushrooms instead of meat for that.
Gotcha.
And then the tzatziki sauce, which is normally Greek yogurt, I made an avocado tzatziki.
Ooh,
and then,
that sounds delicious.
I know it does.
Thank you.
I'm like, we might need to make this.
Yeah. Meanwhile, during the Euro round, I was tied up in a toga with another chef competitor. So it sounds kind of fun and glamorous, but it was just ridiculous at the same time.
No.
And then the final round was ginger snap cookies.
Ooh.
So fortunately, I had at that time been wholesaling vegan desserts around town. So I had, you know, cookie recipes in my mind. So that kind of worked out in my favor. I was competing against a pastry chef, which made me really nervous. But,
oh, wow.
But you ended up winning out.
Yeah, ended up winning.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
So obviously your flavor was there.
Yeah.
The flavor, yeah.
Yeah. So I used the prize money to buy the food truck.
And yes.
Things just started taking off from there.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I love this story so much. Talk about, like, serendipitous. I mean, like, yeah. If you wouldn't have applied to the show.
Right, yeah.
It could have changed
even
the story.
Happen.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Did you know you're going to do a food truck? That's probably the same question.
Yeah,
it was.
No, not at all.
Why a food truck?
I thought about doing a cafe first. First a bakery, and then I thought, well, I want to cook savory stuff too, so maybe a cafe. So I was really looking into that and looking at property. And just through a connection, someone told me this food truck was for sale. And I wasn't all about it until I saw the truck. And it was this bright neon orange, can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it already had the sink set up and a generator and electric in there. So I thought, all right, I think I'm going to do this.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So fun.
So what was your... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was... you've got... You know, you said you were excited about pastries and cooking. But where did you get the recipes... That you currently, like, not you currently have, but like get started with how to, let me try this again.
Sure.
How did you veganize all the recipes that you came up with?
Years of trial and error,
okay.
Mostly. Nowadays there's a lot of vegan recipes out there, but for me, since I grew up eating, you know, Southern comfort food, I would mm-hmm. rather take all those recipes that I loved and make my own tweaks to them
mm-hmm.
instead of just starting completely fresh. So that's what I did. And I think that's why I really like comfort food is because, you know, especially here in Louisville,
mm-hmm.
you know, I love really healthy, fresh, organic salads and whatnot, but I also want that stick to your rib stuff. And that's how other people feel too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've kind of focused on the comfort food mm-hmm. side of things to show people that you can still enjoy all those flavors and textures but do it plant-based.
Yeah, because food is so personal.
It is. Yeah.
It's, you know, it takes you back or it brings you comfort.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it can be a Band-Aid in certain situations,
yeah.
Of course. So, yeah, if you're on a strict diet or, you know, taking a different kind of turn in your lifestyle, yeah, it can be intimidating. So flavors have got to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I know that was my comfort.
I know when you started the truck, and I don't know timeline where this fits into it, but you started a meal prep service.
Yes. So right around the time I found the food truck, I met my now husband, who I'm somehow convinced to go on this crazy journey with me. He owns Vegrits with me.
You have an orange food truck and you're super cute. This wasn't a hard sell.
I know.
He's like, oh, I'm sold.
He's like, she's a keeper.
She's cute.
He did
and
some,
you cook. So
yeah,
I mean, like,
right. Like really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got him to do some food samplings with me and he saw all the people coming out trying the vegan food and how everyone just loved it. And it was this positive, uplifting experience around food. And I think that's how he fell in love with the vegan lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So he jumped in with me. We started the food truck and I knew going in that I wanted to do something bigger than that eventually. I just didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So the food truck was kind of the way that we would test concepts. It started out with we would sell our vegan cheese in grocery stores. And that was because people would come to the food truck, eat our food, and they'd say, oh, if I could eat this mac and cheese every day, I'd be vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, all right, well, let's sell them the cheese and then they
can
make it at home. So we did that for a while. And then it was people saying that if they knew how to cook, then it would be easier for them to eat this way.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with the idea for the meal service, which was similar to Blue Apron or HelloFresh, or they're really popular now. It was a subscription service, 3 recipes, and all the ingredients in the box to make the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I was writing the recipes like on a daily basis. We were testing them at home, going through this whole process. It was fun, and we were shipping regionally, and we had a lot of customers. It just got to this point where we had to decide if we were going all in with the meal service and only the meal service,
mm-hmm.
Or if we wanted to stick it out with ready-to-eat foods like the food truck or a restaurant. And I think the main reason we decided to drop the meal service was, while it was profitable, it was labor intensive. But what I really missed was that customer connection. Mm-hmm. So with the food truck, I got to make friends with all of our customers, and I got to know them and their food journeys. And with the meal service, I lost that entirely, and we didn't have that face-to-face interaction.
Yeah.
So that was the motivator to open a restaurant.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember really awesome. When I started getting curious about vegan foods, it was your mac and cheese that literally was like, I feel comfort here. I can do this. Like, this is fun. And then when we signed up to do the meal service, I remember my husband even being like, this is amazing. And I'm like, I know, right? And I mean, it was three meals that we got in this, you know, box, and everything was so like perfectly proportioned, and you sourced locally as mm-hmm. much as you could, and everything was organic. And I still have all the recipes on the V cards, which I thought was so
cute.
Great. but they were really tasty. And I remember my Thank husband you. Being like, I don't miss anything about mm-hmm. meat or dairy, because the flavor profiles are so strong mm-hmm. in this. So that
Fair, sure.
that was one of those like, oh, sorry about that. that was one of those things that I really loved it, and I could see how this could fit into everyday lifestyles if people just knew a little bit more about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that you really pioneered something super amazing by introducing people to
Thank you.
How
I don't,
easy that was.
We probably won't go back to the meal service just because of how labor intensive it is, but we do have hundreds of recipes now, so I'm really hoping we can at least put together a cookbook and
yes.
kind of,
yeah. yeah. Oh, please, Christina.
We will be your testers.
Yeah.
I mean, in that in itself, you've already done the work.
Right.
Yeah. You have it ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to hear, what is one thing that you want people to know about the food truck life?
It's crazier and more difficult than you would anticipate. You know, it's a food truck, so it's small, and it's a much smaller scale than a restaurant. So yes, it is a really good first step, but it mm-hmm. is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you buy a truck ready to go, which can be really expensive, or you build it out yourself, which you're going to run into a lot of hurdles with, you got to have all the permitting, know where to go. Mm-hmm. And then not just that, but it's building up your customer base. You know, you mm-hmm. can't just go out on the street and hope
just show
people.
Up.
Right,
right.
Yeah. You got to do a lot of marketing.
There's probably a lot of social media, like people following food trucks
yes.
going around.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a two-person operation.
Right.
So I'm sure at some point you're like, this is exhausting.
Yeah. So I'm glad we went that route, and it was a lot of fun for the first year, and then it was just an overwhelming mm-hmm. amount of work. So yeah, I wouldn't necessarily deter people, but really, really think about what you want to do and if you're ready to put all that work in and maybe not see, you know, the money back for a little while
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's true.
So
I always think this is really interesting. Like, you have this little moving little restaurant.
Yeah.
And you're like,
on wheels.
I'll see you there.
Well, it's Louisville. Oh, so sorry. Hold please.
Push pause.
LA or mm-hmm. somewhere like that. But Louisville needed it. We're always in the bottom when it comes to health. You know, mm-hmm. heart disease, diabetes, mental health, just all of it. We're always the bottom of the list, mm-hmm. Kentucky especially. So that was one of the motivating factors. I thought, you know, if I can get some local people on board with this, it's going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we started it, it was an uphill battle because people weren't that familiar with vegan food. So we would have people walk up to the truck and look at the menu and kind of squint and be like, I don't know, what is this yeah. weird, you know?
What is she talking about?
Yeah. But after a couple of years, we built up a huge following. And I mean, that was just 5 years ago that we launched the truck. But it's really like night and day, like how much more open-minded and welcoming people are that, you know, aren't vegan at all. I'd say probably half the customers that come to the restaurant aren't vegan. They just like the food.
Yeah.
Which is
well, it's crazy to see where it's come in 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, you started as a truck, and now you have a restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
been a journey.
Yeah, exactly.
But this was a long time coming to life. Can you give us a little bit of backstory about how the restaurant came about and
yes.
the struggles to get there?
So after products in grocery stores, meals in grocery stores, the meal service. We were still doing the food truck throughout all of that. And finally decided a restaurant was what we wanted to do so we could serve a large amount of people in a much bigger kitchen. So we started looking for property. And a little over a year ago, we were really serious. We were just ready to get a place open. So we were looking at buildings around town, and one of our friends, Sean Steele, reached out and said he was going to start a brewery. And he said he wanted there to be a food component, but he and his wife were vegan, and they really wanted that to be vegan, and asked if we would be interested in partnering. So we had known him. We had all volunteered at some animal sanctuaries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we knew we shared the same values. And he had organized some music festivals in town that we had taken the food truck to. So we'd worked with him before. And when he asked about the brewery, he also sent his business plan that was like 40 pages long and the most in-depth thing I've ever read. So we knew he was really serious about doing it and prepared. So we automatically said yes.
Yeah.
My husband and I, when we travel, we go to vegan restaurants and we go to craft breweries. Like, that's just what we love.
Yeah.
So we knew we wanted to serve local beer at the restaurant, and to have, you know, a new local brewery in there was just, the idea was just so exciting.
Yeah.
So we said yes, and then we joined forces and started looking at buildings together. And the one we chose, which needed a ridiculous amount of work, we chose it because of the location, the history, and when we launched the food truck 5 years ago, next month, we had our launch party at this building.
It happened
to be the coldest day of the year, so we couldn't actually do it in the food truck. So we used the kitchen in this building, and Sean, who owns the brewery, his band played at our launch party.
That's so awesome.
So it just kind of felt like fate.
Yeah, full circle.
Yeah, exactly. And the building had huge potential. So we knew if we could put the work in to get it where we wanted it to be, it was going to be a really cool place.
Yeah.
So it took about three times as long as we thought, about a year, really, to renovate the building and get the doors open.
So is this a partnership?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, did you guys do a lot of the renovations yourselves?
We did.
Because I remember seeing pictures on Instagram. Yeah. Like, she is in there with, like, a sledgehammer. Like, she is serious about getting this right. I love that.
We had a contractor and help with design and a lot of people working in there. But if it was something that we could do on our own, we were doing it to save money.
Mm-hmm.
We rented a floor grinder. We painted. We tiled. All that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, really became your love child. And
yes.
You're, like, placing tiles on the wall. This is it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's awesome.
That is amazing.
So being a female entrepreneur, did you have any obstacles in gaining, you know, any capital to start your business? Or was that something that you found tricky to start with?
Not really. I don't think, as far as being a female entrepreneur, I think it just, my parents always installed in me this idea that I could just do whatever I wanted. So I took that and ran with it and said, well, that's what I'm going to do. But as far as capital, you know, fortunately, we had saved up from years of the food truck a little bit to put towards it. The brewery, it's their first venture, so they ended up getting a small business loan. And a little interesting backstory, we have a loan, but it's through someone that lives in another state that's been following us for a while, extremely interested in animal welfare, animal rights, and mm-hmm. loves that we're promoting the vegan movement here in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So he loaned us the money, but the loan payments actually are going to an animal sanctuary, not back to him.
Wow.
So
talk about an angel investor.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like, all aspects. Wow.
So it makes us feel great to know you know, the money we're paying back is going to help.
Cause that,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. You know, I know that's not going to happen to most people, and we just kind of lucked out in this scenario.
Oh, my gosh. That's really cool.
But, yeah.
But you invested in your community.
Oh, yeah.
And that person
saw
that.
Yeah.
So hats off to you. Yeah. And a lot of that, what I'm hearing, too, is that you really listened to your community.
Mm-hmm.
You tried new things. Like, okay, you wanted to learn more. Let's do cooking classes. You wanted to be able to do this at home. Let's do a meal delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the biggest thing you've learned through that, through all these trial and errors?
Everything takes longer than you think it will. It's going to be more work than you think it will, and you're probably not going to get paid as soon as you would like to get paid. But, you know, if you're really passionate about what you're doing, it's all going to be worth it. Mm-hmm. You just got to put the work in.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so fun. So where do you see V-Grits going? Like, what's the next chapter, do you think?
You know, I've never... Along this process, I've never looked too far into the future. You know, I've always known we're going to do more things, we're going to do bigger things, but we've always just kind of listened, like you said, listened to our customers to see what direction is the right one to go. Mm-hmm. So we've thought about maybe opening other locations in other cities. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. We're just 3 or 4 months into the restaurant, so we're going to take it day by day and see, you know, what we should do next.
Cool. Do you have a favorite, like, recipe or favorite dish that you've created?
On the menu at the restaurant?
Or just anything, like, from the 5 years that you've been cultivating these recipes?
Gosh, so many. I would say that from before I was vegan to now, I probably eat 10 times more variety of food. You know, I think we just get used to what we grew up eating and we kind of stick with it. Mm-hmm. But when you force yourself to try something different, you really expand your palate. Mm-hmm. So I love all types of cuisines. And sometimes I just want loaded mac and cheese. And sometimes I want, you know, quinoa, arugula, healthy mm-hmm. salad.
Right. Well, let me just tell you about this loaded mac and cheese she's telling you about. the first time I had it, it had bacon on it. And I'm doing air quotes on bacon. And it was a flavored coconut chip.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember looking at this thing like it was just a piece of heaven that just fell from the sky. Like, what is this? This tastes amazing. And it blew my mind that coconut could taste like bacon. But we put it in mac and cheese and it does. It was so good.
Yeah, it's like big bacon bits.
Yes. It's delicious.
That takes some ingenuity right there.
It does. It does.
Think outside the box. So on the menu at V-Grits, you have meat names.
Yes. We can ask about that a pretty decent amount. Things will say turkey or chicken or cheese, you know. But I feel like it has the same flavor and it has the same texture. So what else would we call it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not going to call it like some cashew sauce because it really doesn't taste like cashews. It tastes like cheese.
Yeah.
A lot of our vegan meats, like the turkey and the gyro meat and the ham, the base of those is wheat protein. So it's just the protein part of wheat flour that's been removed. And then it's beans and spices and all this regular stuff that you could get at Kroger. So it's very much like plant-based, healthy, high-protein stuff. But we're not going to call it wheat protein sliced. You know, that just sounds crazy.
It would be so hyphenated, too.
Yeah.
Like, our menu would be 9 pages long.
Yeah. And also for people that are new to, you know, vegan meats and cheeses, it's a comfort to them to know what to expect.
Well, and when you say the word, your brain associates it with that taste. So
exactly.
You're like, oh, no, it's supposed to taste like cheese. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it tastes like.
Right.
So that's very smart.
I like the Betty.
Oh, yeah. It's our most popular.
Has to be.
In the top three. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of bang for your buck with that one.
You do.
I mean, it's huge, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
it's like this big.
Diner style platter of just Southern comfort deliciousness.
Yeah.
Mashed potatoes and gravy, stir fried veggies, a biscuit with a sweet butter, and our fried chicken, which is an oyster mushroom that's been marinated and battered and fried.
Which I could eat mushrooms all day long.
Well, and I'm new to the mushroom game. I mean, it's taken me 39 trips around the sun to come here. But I'm here now, and I really like them. And I'm not a huge fan of tofu. Mm-hmm. Like, the texture to me is a little bit squishy.
Yeah, right, it is.
So the fact that you have been able to make the chicken texture come from a mushroom, I'm like, I can get behind this all day. Like, that does not bother me like whatsoever. It's, and it's really good.
Yeah.
Tofu is kind of hard, though. Like,
it's tricky.
It is. And it is because, I mean, you're either on it or you're not.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're in between.
No.
You know, some people are like, it's okay. I'm like, no.
You
can't live in that world.
If you wouldn't order it at a restaurant, you're not going to, you typically wouldn't make it at home.
Because I love it. I would order it out. I like, I eat it everywhere. I mean, I'm like, this is good.
I'm like, I try.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll try it.
I like it. And you can do different things with it at home. We do, we have Sunday brunches at the restaurant now, and we make a scramble with tofu. But at this point, you wouldn't really, it's like scrambled eggs. You wouldn't even recognize it as tofu. So it's a good fill-in for that. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as like proteins, there's a lot more fun stuff that you can create.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I have this passion project I'd like for you and the High Five Donut Girls to create together. Mm-hmm. I would like for you to take your spicy chicken and their vegan donut.
I love it.
And make a love child. Make it delicious.
That sounds delicious.
There you go.
Let's do
that's
it.
Putting it out in the universe and hope we get a high five.
And High Five Donuts is a local donut shop here at Mobile that make both vegan and delicious. All delicious.
They're donuts. So amazing.
All taste buds will be
Yeah. I mean, I just want to, like, you know, go in with goggles to all these kitchens and be like, how do they make this? How does this work? Like, they're just culinary geniuses that live here, and I love it.
So the restaurant's a new chapter, but you recently had another new chapter. Ooh. So you've been becoming yes. a new foster mom. Or yes. just mom. Or
yeah, foster mom. Foster mm-hmm. mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So can you tell us that? And this is new.
It is very new. It's something I'd always wanted to adopt. I just have always gravitated towards that. It felt like the right thing to do. You know, I've kind of thrown myself into this lifestyle of trying to show people, like, this compassionate, healthy way to live mm-hmm. Through eating. And it just makes sense in all aspects of life. You know, if there's kids out there that need homes, then I want to see if I can do that. So I got my husband on board a few years ago. And then finally we thought, all right, it's time to really look into this. Mm-hmm. So we looked into foster care through the county, and which in most situations, it's kids that have been taken out of their homes for, you know, some really sad reason. So we spent the last year, while we were renovating the restaurant, also getting certified to be foster parents.
While developing recipes.
Right.
In your spare time.
Yes. Yeah.
And, hey, go open a restaurant.
That's life. You just gotta, that's true. You gotta yeah. go for it. So we did classroom training, hours and hours and hours, online training. We had caseworkers coming to our house for home studies and getting to know us. So we got approved in the end of November. And then a month later, we got a call. And we picked up a little 12-day-old baby, and we've had him for a little over a month now. And he's doing great.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. My heart is just bursting for you.
Yes. Because it's so a big, fun. You know, you didn't have 9 months to warm up.
Yeah. Right. It's yeah. kind of funny. Somebody just hands you a baby one day. Like, you know yeah. it's coming, but you don't really, you don't know what age they're going to be. Mm-hmm. We said newborn to 3-year-old for our first go-around is what we'd like. But we didn't know if we were going to get a toddler. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just one day you get this call.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so how's the transition going as of right now?
I feel like I'm floating around in a zombie sleep-deprived state. Mm-hmm.
Is he still waking up in the middle of the night?
Yeah, he eats every 3 to 4 hours. So it's a lot of that. But,
yes.
But we love it. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I feel yeah. like we immediately got used to it. As crazy as that sounds, you mm-hmm. just switch. All of a sudden, you're mm-hmm. in parent mode.
Yeah. Well, you're meant to be. I mean, yeah, you're meant to care for other beings.
Yeah,
so that's
right.
what Renee is supposed mm-hmm. to do. So yeah, yeah, you kind of pick up on that yeah, immediately, yeah. and you're like, "This, he needs us."
Yeah, exactly. So,
to survive, we need it. Yeah.
What's been the biggest eye-opening experience so far about being a new mom?
I don't know. That's a good question. I knew that I would love it, but I guess I didn't realize how much I would love him instantly, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially so since beautiful. We're just fostering. But yeah, he's just the greatest thing.
Aww, you know, and it's very interesting because I heard on a different podcast recently, like other foster parents talking, they're like, oh, no, we're just fostering. And I was like, we don't just say we're just parents.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, I'm just a parent. But then, like, you know, you kind of, so... It's just weird how we say that. I mean, like, well, I think you're just loving. Like, yeah. you're loving this yeah. little being. Yeah. And I think that takes a very special person. So he's very, very, very lucky
yes,
to have you guys.
I feel like we're lucky to go through this experience with him.
Oh, precious. Putting out some good vibes not in the world.
I know.
I do have one kind of off-the-wall question.
Okay.
Because I think I asked Edgy Veg this, but what is your favorite vegan product on the market? Like, ooh. Food-wise. Or, you know what? Actually, any vegan product. Yeah.
Good question. What is it? I like to try different stuff constantly, so there's not one thing that I always keep going back to. I really like the Beyond Burger, mm-hmm. if you haven't tried that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit newer, and it tastes very similar to a traditional hamburger. Mm-hmm. So veggie burgers are delicious, of course, but they taste like veggie burgers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Beyond Burger, I think, is... a little more meaty, if that's something you like.
Mm-hmm.
And that company is really doing amazing things. Tyson Foods has invested in them, so they're going to be moving more towards plant-based proteins with their products, which is...
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's a huge step in the right direction.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Have you had the Impossible Burger?
I have. I like that, too.
That one tripped me out. So, like, you bite into it, and I'm like, is it bleeding? I'm sorry. What am I eating?
Yeah.
What is this? But it's so
I've never had it.
Good. Oh, you haven't?
I haven't had it yet.
Oh,
you can, both of them. There's a lot of places around town you can get now. That if they serve regular hamburgers, most of them have one of these two options, which is neat.
I am not White Castle a hamburger person. Now does the Impossible Burger.
White Castle, they've got these.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just learned this. I think starting in 2019, I know it's in California, but I think it's coming. But in California, it is a law that 20% of a menu of a restaurant has to be vegan.
That's amazing.
This includes McDonald's. Okay. I don't know why I'm touching you. Can you believe this?
Yeah, apple slices, French fries. I think they already got it. It might be there.
But because Talita, who was on our show recently, she sat next to this lady who's in corporate McDonald's, and she was talking about the changes going on, and she was just saying there was a law passed in California that 20% of all menus now have to have vegan options.
That's incredible.
You know what? If they can do that, they can definitely do that. If they're doing the straws and they're doing that, right. There's just a whole lot of good.
Yes.
I know people are angry about the straws too, but come on. I'm so on board for this.
Yeah, right. I know. It should have been a long time ago that we switched this out.
I'm so on board for this. This is so great. I love the straw movement.
Would you have any tips to give someone who's interested in trying out the vegan lifestyle? Like, what would you say?
Start cooking at home. You know, some people love it. Some people are a little hesitant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you just start playing around with some new ingredients at home, you can really have fun with it. Mm-hmm. I know it can take up a little time, but it's something that you might really start to enjoy. Mm-hmm. Pinterest is a fantastic resource for recipes. They're endless. So, you know, you can start with something a little bit easier. Go to the grocery, buy some veggies. Say, you know, hey, what can I do with this butternut squash?
And
It is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And a good blender.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A good blender will go a long way.
That is true. Very true. Yeah. Do you, have you tried the Miyoko's?
Yes, they've got really good stuff.
Yes,
they do.
I want to know what kind of magic they've got going on. Like, I feel like, you know, there's like Keebler elves making the cookie. I'm like, what elves do you have in your kitchen?
The Miyoko's butter. That's my favorite vegan butter. That's on the market.
But that's all we use now. I mean, we said this on Edgy Veg too, but I don't really use any other butter.
I won't go back.
Well, I think I do. I always keep it just in case Landon doesn't want it, but no one else knows the difference.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, honestly, delicious. If you can tell the difference, then...
I know. You've got a really complex taste bud control going on there.
I know.
It's crazy.
I mean, maybe your heritage is country crock on that point. If you can taste the difference, then I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's too much plastic in your butter to begin with.
I know, right? Big country crock tubs.
Yes. I'm pretty sure my grandparents still keep, that's their food storage. I don't think that they have ever...
No real Tupperware. It's just butter containers.
Yes. Various sizes.
It's so bad. Or Cool Whip containers.
It
was Cool Whip. Mm-hmm. That was just, you know, if you had a little take home. And then if you had a big one, you're getting the country crock.
Right.
That's so funny. Living in Louisville.
I know. All the fun things.
Okay, so we end every podcast with two questions.
Okay.
So you want to start?
Yeah. Well, okay, this might be an obvious one, but are you team wine or team coffee? You can be team both. You don't have to pick.
Ooh, I love wine, but I would have to say coffee. Mm-hmm. Definitely coffee.
Lately, for sure.
Yeah.
I thought that I was not addicted to coffee until I tried to go without it for a couple of days.
Did you find that you were an angry person without coffee?
Just really just tired. Less enthusiastic about everything.
I went without it for, I think 5 days one time. I mean, even when I was pregnant, and I don't need any shamers here, I did, the half-calf one. I mean, I knew my addiction. I was like, at least I'm going halfway, guys.
Right.
But it's amazing. I know. I get it. I just can't live without it. I mean, if someone said to me, alcohol or coffee, I would definitely take coffee. I'm like, I can stop alcohol tomorrow. I'm good. But coffee, I'm like... Well, why else do I get up?
Right.
Yeah.
Why am I getting out of bed?
Do you think about your coffee when you wake up? That's what I do. I'm like, oh, I just have to get
Yes. Up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the taste of it.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I just always have.
See? Awesome. Well, I love it.
My question. Okay. So, I have two, but I'm going to pick just one.
We've got time for two more if you need.
Oh, okay. Cool. I didn't know our time. Okay. So, what is your favorite jam out song?
Okay, funny side story. I am going to Jamaica this weekend to see my favorite band, who I've been following around the country for 21 years now.
And who, what band is
since
this?
I was 14, 15. I'll give you a hint.
Okay. my mind is racing. I'm
like, it's Three Brothers. So they were really young when they started out. You know?
Hanson?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
Oh my gosh, Christina. So. My head could pop off my body. It would have just.
So they are my favorite, and I've met some of my best friends over the years that are also vegan, compassionate Hanson fans, and we travel to shows together. And they are doing this huge weekend in Jamaica. They've rented out a resort. So I'm going this weekend to jam out to some Hanson.
Oh, my gosh.
But they've been doing some cool stuff in the recent. I saw, like, a YouTube video not too long ago. Like, they had a really good song.
They did an orchestra tour this year where they played with every local symphony of every city they went to.
Oh, did they come to Louisville?
What?
They did. Yeah, they played at the Palace in November.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
No way.
Did you go?
Oh, of course.
Of course.
I went to Jamaica. Of course she went in their backyard.
She had a baby. She had a baby. I didn't know.
Yeah. I didn't think I thought I'd have to cancel my Jamaica trip. I did shorten it, but my husband encouraged me to go.
Oh, gosh, that's a good man.
Yeah, I was going to say
you got to have that bucket
filler.
You do.
Yeah,
too.
For sure.
Oh, that's so awesome. Is the group, like, the vegan Hanson support group, is this like, I mean, do you guys share recipes when you're together? Like, are they coming to visit the restaurant? Like,
well, I've got friends in cities all over the country. So Detroit and Phoenix are a couple of my best friends. But when we travel, that's what we do. We go to the Hanson show, but we also go to all the local vegan restaurants in every city we go to, which is really fun.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, I love this so much.
You're such a little vegan onion.
I know.
I love peeling back your layers. Oh my gosh. Okay, my second question.
Okay.
What is your favorite emoji? Mm. Which ones do you use the most?
I like the one with the little hands up in the air.
This one?
Yeah. Excited.
I like that one.
I'm excited about everything.
Yay!
Yay! That's my regular emotion.
Actually, that's a really popular one. Yeah. Most people say that.
It's so positive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that your most recent used, like, that one you're heavily used one?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Because on our Instagram, I recently thought about this, because I said, your life status is your most recent emojis. And, like, give me your top four that you've used. And we got some eclectic ones.
We did. We were like, oh, wow, you had a really hard week this week.
Hope February's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have been using the Z's a lot lately.
Oh, yeah. New mommy Z's.
The new mommy
sure.
Z's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dark
There's,
circles.
People may call, like, the zombie ones zombies, but in this case, you could be a mombie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
like, mombie. I'm not really sure what day it is.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I brushed my teeth in the past week. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I totally get that. Waking up, you're like, what day is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, mine are 6 and 8, and I'm still like that. So I would tell you it gets better.
Not really.
I don't want to lie to you.
I'm just kidding. Keep it real.
A couple more hours of sleep at a time.
Isn't it amazing what you can survive on?
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, little sleep and only one hand, because you're holding a baby and you're, like, cooking and doing all the things. You're like, I got this.
Yeah, I just slept 2 hours last night, but it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're
just
here.
Keep going.
You're right. Yeah. And you look great.
I know. I'm like, you look very chic right now. It's like, how are you so chic and you had 2 hours sleep?
I didn't look like this when I had, you know, a little baby at home. Like, no.
Oh, no.
Not even.
We don't even look like this, like, half the time.
You know.
You're getting this on a rare day. Well, thank you for coming to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
Fun.
Okay, and where can everyone find you?
Our website is vgrits.com. VGRITS. We do a lot with social media too, so definitely follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Cool. Awesome.
And local peeps, where is VGRITS located?
It's 1025 Barrett Avenue. That's the corner of Barrett and Winter, just between the Highlands and Germantown. It used to be the old Monkey Wrench Bar.
Cool.
Yeah.
You have to say that in Louisville if you're not.
Yeah,
you do.
You say, like, landmarks instead of
instead of what it currently is.
Yeah, yeah. What, it works better than the address. Do you know where the Monkey Wrench was? And people are like, oh, yeah, of course. Well, that's where we are.
Yep.
Beauties of living in a small town.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so
much. Come back and see us.